Welcome. You are listening to The Scoreboard. 844 Studio 4. That's the phone number. It'll get you into the studio, part of the show, anything you want to talk about right here. And you can watch the program anywhere you are because of the new WSIC News app available on iOS and Google. I guess it's Google Play Store is what it's called there. Anyway, 844 Studio 4 gets you right here into the studio and part of the program. We have a lot to go over today. We had a national championship game last night. Yeah, I know. We've been talking so much about the women's basketball. We almost disregarded the men's. No, we had no intent of disregarding the men's tournament. We had a championship last night. It went about how I expected it to, honestly. UConn, congratulations, back-to-back national champions. And with that, we have a winner for the Merrillfest Madness Tournament. Yes, we will announce that later on in the show. Stay tuned. Maybe you won. A reminder, the winner gets a four-pack of Merrillfest tickets. And second place, because you did so well, we're going to give you some WSIC gear. You can pick it up right here at Statesville, but we're going to announce that a little later. So stay tuned for that. Also, high school baseball is restarting today. Yes, everybody's playing. We had one game yesterday. Everybody's in action today. So we'll go over those games, talk about what needs to happen as these teams start to make a push for the playoffs. The end of the month is approaching, and with that is going to come high school baseball playoffs. And hey, look, there's some teams in the area that they need to win now if they want any chance at the playoffs. Also, we had a NASCAR race on Sunday, and as we do on Tuesday, we start talking about the next week ahead, which is the Texas Motor Speedway. But I saw some comments from everybody's favorite senior vice president of competition, Elton Sawyer, about the package for the short tracks and how NASCAR is working diligently to fix it. Sounds promising, right? Yeah, it's not promising. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, you know, but I don't think it's good news. We'll also talk about the NHL today as the Hurricanes are in action, as well as the team that they are chasing in the Metropolitan Division, New York Rangers. We had a game that affects the Hurricanes and who they might play in the first round of the playoffs last night. So we need to make sure we let you know what the possibilities are in the NHL. I expect Carolina to win in the first round no matter who they play. They're very deserving, and they should be in the playoffs, and they should be a second round team. But it's kind of semantics at this point. Who are they going to play? There are a few options because the last two spots in the Eastern playoffs are either the Metropolitan third seed or the second wild card team. So all of that is unfolding. And Carolina, with them still being behind the Rangers, they would play whoever finishes third in the Metropolitan. So a big battle there for that spot. And we're going to get to that a little bit later on in the show. But we got to start off with high school baseball, going over what happened last night. Lake Norman, the Wildcats, they went on that nice 9-game winning streak in the middle of the year. Man, they were on fire. They were beating every team. They were putting up double digits. Now they've seemed to have floated back down to earth here. As I told you yesterday that they were taking on Cox Mill High School, one of the best teams in the area, the 11th ranked team in North Carolina, one of the best teams in the 4A Greater Metro. Cox Mill is actually currently 9-0 in conference. And unfortunately, Lake Norman was not able to steal one away. They did drop the game, but they were very competitive. And that is the biggest thing, in my opinion. Cox Mills scored the game-winning run in the sixth inning. This was a 2-2 game up until then, with both teams trading runs in the first and the third innings. Also, I'll tell you what, even though Lake Norman lost, I expect them to get a little bit of love in the rankings. They played the 11th ranked school, and they held them to 3 runs. Now, Lake Norman only had 2 hits in the game, which, you know, that goes to show Cox Mill, they're a really good team. But you play them to a 3-2 loss, that you deserve a little bit of respect for that. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go in the standings from here. Hickory Ridge is now ahead of Lake Norman at 5-2. And man, this division is no longer the weird jumbled up mess that it was. It's starting to look more like an actual conference standing right there. If you remember, the top 3 had 1 loss combined and the bottom 3 had no wins combined. It was a weird division to start the year. But Lake Norman, they are ahead of South Iredell, who are 3-3 in the division. And Mooresville, man, they were not a good baseball season, but with Hickory Ridge ahead of them at 6-2, they're going to look to move up a spot there, and I don't think they'll catch Cox Mill. Like I said, they're 9-0, but getting second in that conference, that'll be huge, and keep winning. You're going to go to the playoffs if you keep it up, Lake Norman, so good year for them. Starting to preview what's going on around the area today. So Lake Norman, they are not in action today. They have a day off, and then they resume tomorrow against West Rowan. But everybody else is in action today, starting with Mooresville High School. Told you they've had a rough year. 2 wins so far on the year at, 2-14 is not where they want to be at all. They had a good football season and basketball season. Baseball just, can forget about it and look to next year, I guess. But, you know, even when you look back to last year's Mooresville team, they were only right at 500. Now, they didn't make the playoffs, but it's a 500 baseball team. Today, they have a chance to get back on schedule as they take on West Cabarrus, who's 3-11. So a couple of tough seasons there are starting to collide. We'll see if Mooresville can come out the other side. Statesville, Northwest, South Iredell, they are all in action today as well in the baseball things. We're going to get to that on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. And by the way, stay tuned. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to announce the winner of Merrifest Madness. Who's it going to be? Who is getting 4 tickets? And who finished second? You're going to get some swag from WSIC. Stay tuned for that. We'll have that for you on the other side of the break. You're listening to The Scoreboard. We're back after this.
This guy knows his sports, right? There's more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg on the way on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's The Scoreboard with your host, sports director Joe Berg, on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
And welcome back. Here it is, segment 2. On The Scoreboard, 844 Studio 4 to get you into the studio part of the program. Anything you want to talk about. We're talking high school baseball right now. We got some games going on tonight. Some of them, first pitch is going to be in a little while, if it happens. I mean, we did get quite a bit of rain in the area today. So I'm not sure if everybody's going to get their games in, because the sun hasn't been out, and according to my weather radar app, we're going to get a little bit more rain here, and I don't know how widespread it's going to be, but there are baseball games scheduled for today. We told you Mooresville, they have a chance to get back on track tonight. We're going to continue to talk about some baseball teams that are playing, possibly playing, if you will. Starting a little bit further north here with Statesville High School. You know, we like to talk about them right in our backyard here. And the baseball team has had a really rough year. 0-7 currently is the Statesville baseball team. They have a game against Hickory today. It's on the road, so who knows what the field conditions in Hickory are right now. 7 o'clock game, though. Hickory with 2 wins, 2-10 on the year. Maybe Statesville with a chance to get in the win column. At this point, that's all you can do is try to get yourself in the win column. They actually have back-to-back games and quite a few games this week. They have a third coming up on Friday as well. So Hickory tonight, North Lincoln tomorrow, and then East Lincoln on Friday. Tomorrow, they are at home before going back on the road next Friday. So a little bit of a road stand here, but they did have a couple of home games on the other side of spring break. So now they got to get those road games in. That's just the way it goes. So we'll see what Statesville is able to do. North Iredell, 4-5 on the year. They are taking on North Lincoln tonight. North Lincoln is a team that is 10-2. Now, the same schedule here for North Iredell as Statesville, today, tomorrow, and Friday. The only difference is for North Iredell, all of these games this week are going to be on the road, so they are going to be traveling. We'll see if they get them all in. I know we're going to say that all week. There's rain in the forecast. Not sure what's going to happen with that. When I was in high school playing baseball, we played on a field that did not drain water at all. So if it rained 2 days ago, yeah, we're not playing today. The field's still not dry. Anyway, I'm not going to throw out the name of the ballpark. West Iredell is another team with a losing record looking to turn things around. 4-7 on the year tonight, taking on East Lincoln. That's going to be at home. And again, same schedule. We got a game today, tomorrow, and Friday for West Iredell. Complete opposite of North Iredell this week. All of West baseball games are going to be at home. So not much travel there, but, you know, with the rain, who knows? Kind of a little bit more familiar, I guess, with the rain in that area. It's going to be wet. It's going to be wet. And if it doesn't rain anymore today, maybe the fields dry out just enough for them to get these games in. But I don't believe that it's going to dry out. I think we're going to get some more rain in the area. So all of these games could end up getting pushed, including South Iredell, who's going to be playing at home tonight against A.L. Brown, one of the better teams in the area. Now, they're on a couple of rough games here. They've lost 4 of their last 5 after, man, what a hot start they had. They got to turn things around, though, and they have a chance tonight against A.L. Brown, who is 6-9 on the year, so not as good in the record books as South Iredell, but, you know, that's why you play the game. The interesting thing about South Iredell's schedule from here on out is it's a lot of home and home. So they play A.L. Brown at home today, and then they go on the road Friday to play at A.L. Brown. Next week, they got Mooresville at home, then they go on the road to play Mooresville. 2 home games against Forbush and Bandys, and then they have an away game against Cox Mill and finish with a home game against Cox Mill. So they're playing the same opponent 2 times in a row for a majority of the rest of the season here. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think that's a pretty interesting quirk with the schedule. And that starts today at home against A.L. Brown. First pitch in that one, expected to be around 6:30. We'll continue to keep you updated. I know there's a lot of lacrosse going on, women's soccer going on, tennis. There are a lot of spring sports to cover, and we're going to continue to keep you updated on as many of them as possible. Today we did baseball. Tomorrow we're probably going to change it up a little bit, talk about a different sport that's going on during the spring. make sure you're all caught up on that end. But now it's time to move on to the college rank. And last night we had a national championship. Yes, there was a national championship game between Purdue and UConn. Now, we're going to talk brackets because I have to tell you who won Merlefest Madness. I am not a fan of picking the one seeds to meet each other in the championship game. I feel like more times than not, that doesn't happen. So I didn't pick a single one seed to play in the championship. Well, the game was against two one seeds, and lo and behold, it was against two of the best teams all year long in UConn and Purdue. You had Houston up there as well, but they fell early in the tournament to Duke. So UConn, Purdue meeting up in the championship, and UConn would not be denied their win. 75-60 was the final score. And I told you that the only chance Purdue would have in the game is if Zach Edey went off for 40 points. And he got close. 37. He got to 37. Almost. The thing is, the rest of the team, they couldn't hit their shots. They were hitting threes in the semifinals just fine. No problem. That's why they were able to beat NC State. But in the championship game, those threes were not falling. And in the second half, when they stopped falling, it was obvious they were not going to be able to slow down UConn. And UConn had a decent strategy, I'd say, against Zach Edey. I mean, how much of a strategy can you have against somebody who's just taller than everyone out there? But the double teams were solid. There were a few fouls on the double team, which you'll take. And Edey didn't hit all of his free throws. But in the end, UConn was just too much for Purdue to handle, especially with those outside shooters not performing the way that they should have. So for UConn, back-to-back championships, that is now six college basketball championships for Purdue in 25 years. That is not a dynasty because different players, different time, different people. I don't want to say that UConn has moved out some of the blue bloods of the sport, but I will say that they are now in the conversation. You can't talk about college basketball anymore without including UConn. And I know they have their ups and downs, and they're not always the most talked about team, but they've been winning, and they've been silently winning, not silently, but kind of like, oh, hey, how about that? UConn won again. And now they're up to six in 25 years. That's pretty elite, in my opinion. That's all I'm going to say on that. So WSIC, as you know, we're doing Merlefest Madness. That was the bracket challenge for WSIC where you filled out a bracket. You got to win tickets to Merlefest. Four tickets if you won the WSIC bracket challenge. And if you finish second, we're not going to send you home empty-handed. We are going to give you something for your troubles. Right now, I have in front of me the results of Merlefest Madness brought to you by WSIC. The winner of Merlefest Madness is Joe Nelson. Congratulations to you, Joe Nelson. You are the winner. You have won four tickets to Merlefest. Yay! Congratulations, Joe. I'm not mad. I'm upset my bracket didn't do well. But you had UConn winning it all. I didn't see it coming, but hey, you did. Congratulations. Joe got 93% of the bracket correct. That's pretty good in my opinion. Second place, I told you we weren't going to leave you empty-handed. Clarence Johnson, you are second in Merlefest Madness. You have won some WSIC swag. For our winners, come by our Statesville studios Monday through Friday, anytime in the morning between 8:30 and 12:30, in the afternoon between 2:30 and 6, and pick up your prizes. Two more segments. We'll be back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more Board with Joe Berg in just a moment from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The Scoreboard with Joe Berg continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Welcome back. We are halfway through today on the Scoreboard. 844-STUDIO-4, still the phone number to get you into the program, part of the show, anything you want to say, talk about right here on the Scoreboard. I'll tell you what, it's been a good day. I know it's a little rainy out there, but we got to give away tickets to Merlefest with our Merlefest Madness bracket challenge. Congratulations, Joe Nelson. You are the winner. I hope you go and send us some photos or something like that. Anyway, so we move on from high school basketball or college basketball into the world of baseball, which is now going to become something that's more prominent in the sports world. Also, at least for this area, we're also going to be moving into the NHL playoffs. Now, I know the Hurricanes aren't extremely local, and if you want extremely local, I urge you, the Checkers are doing very good this year. Go check them out, no pun intended. They're no longer affiliated with the Hurricanes, though. I think that's kind of weird. Technically, Carolina, the Hurricanes don't have an AHL team right now. It is a weird situation where their affiliate said, hey, we're not going to be an NHL affiliate anymore. We're just going to compete in the American Hockey League. And we're terminating our contract. So there's no affiliate right now for Carolina. But the Hurricanes are good. And they are going to the playoffs. And that is something that you cannot deny because it's already been clinched. We already know Carolina's going to the playoffs. Now, what we don't know is who they'll be playing and where they'll be seated. So right now, four games remaining in the NHL season for both the Carolina Hurricanes and the team that they're trying to pass, the New York Rangers. Right now, Carolina is 5 points in the standings behind New York. In four games, the maximum amount of points that you can get is 8. So they are not eliminated from that just yet, but the math isn't there. It's really tough. It's going to be, it's not going to have anything to do with how Carolina plays. As long as they win, because they can win and not gain anything in the standings right now, especially if the Rangers, you know, they look like they have over the past few weeks. What Carolina will do, and more than likely will do, is win as many games as they can, be as high in the Eastern Conference as they can, and beat up on whoever gets the third seed in the Metro. Because that's who they're going to be playing. Now, if the playoffs started today, the Hurricanes would be playing the New York Islanders. Now, the Islanders are playing the New York Rangers tonight, where also Carolina is in action against the Boston Bruins, a team that is ahead of them in points in the Eastern Conference. But behind the Islanders is where things get interesting. And it's going to take a little bit of unpacking here because there's a lot of scenarios with this. So I told you the only two spots remaining in the NHL playoffs are the third seed in the Metropolitan Division or wild card number two. Reason being, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who's currently wild card number one, has already locked up the playoffs and the wild card spot. They could catch Toronto. They're in an even worse spot than when it comes to Carolina catching the Rangers. So more than likely, Tampa Bay is going to be that number one wild card team. They are not going to be able to fall low enough in the standings to be the second wild card team. Right now, the Detroit Red Wings are in position to have that spot in the second wild card. That is their only way to make their the playoffs this year for Detroit. They won't be playing the Hurricanes because they are part of the Atlantic Division and the top three in the Atlantic have already been decided. We went over that already. It's going to be Boston, Florida, and Toronto. Tampa Bay is another Atlantic team, but they really don't factor into this conversation. Now, behind the Red Wings is where you'll see everybody that could possibly play the Hurricanes in the first round. You have the Pittsburgh Penguins with 84 points. You have the Washington Capitals with 83 points. The Philadelphia Flyers with 83 points. So there's a lot of question marks there still because all of these teams can still either be the wild card two or Metropolitan three. You see where I'm going with that? Carolina, no matter what, if they get that second seed, which they're more than likely going to get, especially after today, if they lose and New York wins, then it's solidified, okay? They're playing whoever that three seed is. The Islanders have it by 2 points. The other thing about the Islanders is they have 77 games played. Pittsburgh played yesterday. So Pittsburgh has 78 games played. And then Washington has 77, same amount as New York. And then the Flyers have 78. So games played is going to matter here also. This is going to be a wild run to the end of the season. Last games of the season are next week. And then we're going to set the playoffs and we'll just go into it and see who Carolina draws in the first round. The only thing we know is that they're going to have home ice advantage in round one. That's all we know. When it pertains to Carolina, they cannot fall low enough in the standings to be the away team. Good. They shouldn't be. They had a wonderful regular season. They're over 100. They got 105 points right now. That is insane to me. That is a big number. They might be able to get 50 wins. They're at 49 right now. That's a great season. And yet still in front of them are the New York Rangers, who kind of had a better season, at least in the regular season. So keep your eyes on that tonight. There's a lot of games that matter for Carolina going on tonight, starting with their game that they have to win against the Boston Bruins. That game is going to be in Boston. Washington is playing Detroit. Two teams going for that final spot play each other. So that's going to be big. The Islanders play the Rangers. As I said, that is also a big one. And yesterday, Pittsburgh played, and they lost. So Pittsburgh lost their game last night. That is massive in the standings, because if they would have won that game, they'd then have 86 points. They would jump ahead of the Islanders. See how quick this can all change? I mean, one day, and everything can be different. We won't know until the last day of the season. We can talk about it. We can predict it. We can say, oh, this is who we want. We don't want this team. And now, there is something to that. I wouldn't want the Pittsburgh Penguins right now. I wouldn't. I know they just lost last night, but they are hot. They are a team that just fought their way back into the playoffs. Same thing with the Washington Capitals. They've kind of been out for a while, or at least teetering on out. All of a sudden, here they come winning a few games. Alex Ovechkin starts scoring again. Now you got to worry about the Capitals. I don't like saying this. I don't like saying, no, we want this team over this team. But if you're looking at that and you just want to get through round one and you're saying, man, who could Carolina face in round one that would really be not an easy way to round two, but you can take a little bit of a deep breath. That team is Philadelphia. They've been in that Metropolitan 3 spot for the entire season. And here at the end of the season, they're starting to fade a little bit. I don't know if they're going to hang on. I think Philadelphia is going to miss the playoffs. And I really think Carolina is going to end up playing the Pittsburgh Penguins in round one. We'll have NASCAR on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Keep it right here. We'll have more of The Scoreboard with Joe Berg in just a moment from 105.9 100.7 WSIC. It's The Scoreboard with your host, Sports Director Joe Berg on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Turn my mic on. All right, everyone. Final segment on this Tuesday. 844 Studio 4. That's 844-788-3464. We're going to get into NASCAR, but again, congratulations to you, Joe Nelson, for winning Merrlefest Madness, as well as Clarence Thomas. Second place, you did win a prize. You are not going home empty-handed. We're going to get into NASCAR here. Congratulations to William Byron and Hendrick Motorsports and yada, 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 all of that. Let's talk about short track racing in general. I'm a little bit upset today. There's an article by Zach Albert of NASCAR.com that was posted a little bit earlier today. And it was a conversation with Elton Sawyer, Senior Vice President of Competition over at NASCAR. Here is a quote that I think is important, that I think everybody should know. This is what they think at NASCAR is wrong and needs to be fixed. Here's the quote from Elton Sawyer. As far as the product on the racetrack, I think we can't lose sight of the fact of what happened at Bristol a couple of weeks ago. I think we're not naive to this. We as NASCAR want our short track package to be better. We want the racing to be at the top level that super speedways and our intermediate tracks are at today. I promise you we are working as hard as we can with Goodyear, and we need to work harder. That's the bottom line. We need to work harder to come to a place where, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we need to figure out how to bottle up what we learned at Bristol and also what we learned in the first 30 laps at Richmond last week on how that race unfolded. The tires and the way they wear and the way the drivers had to manage that tire wear and tire fall off is really what we're trying to achieve. When you can go out on any track, especially short tracks, and you can run it 10 tenths and the equipment will take it and the tires will take it, then you're taking all the skills away from the drivers. So we are, as I promise, and I promise our fans, we are working daily to try and come up with a tire that will give us short track racing that we are all looking for. I'm going to hit my head on this microphone in front of me. Why are you so concerned about the tires? The tires were not the problem. Let me break that to you first. There was tire fall off, okay? We saw it firsthand. There was tire fall off, and William Byron used the tire fall off to his advantage to win the race. It was the number one story during the entire second half of the race is, oh my goodness, William Byron, he pit before everyone else, got on the fresh tires, got the lead, and never looked back. What was the problem with the tires? You know why short track racing right now, frankly, sucks? Because there's no horsepower in these race cars. None. You can mash the throttle and you just, it's like merging onto the highway. Nothing. That's the problem. And that's been the problem for a decade now with NASCAR. Maybe not a decade. We did have that one year where they had like 950 horsepower and it was amazing. A great year. But these engines stink. They don't do anything. And when you slow them down to 100 miles an hour and you say, all right, guys, go out there and mash the gas. I mean, they're running third and fourth gear around there. There's five gears in this car. At Martinsville, they're running third and fourth gear. And they can put their foot on the floor in those gears. That should tell you all you need to know about how much horsepower is in these race cars. It's terrible. And it's embarrassing. Because nobody can do anything. Tires mattered. And yeah, I love it. I'm glad that you want to find a way to make tire fall off and tire management matter. But don't make that be the only thing that these drivers have to worry about. Because then you're also taking skill away. You're worried about taking skill away because the tires don't fall off? I don't think that's the problem. You're going to take skill away when it's all tire management and no driving. We want driving skill, not how easy you can take it on your tires and make them last as long as possible. Yeah, it's cool when maybe with five laps to go in the fuel run, the tires start to go away completely. Yeah, that's cool and all, but don't make it all about that. Do not make it all about tire management. It should be about, hey, how hard are you going to put your foot on that throttle coming out of the corner? That way your rear tires don't lose traction and you have to lift, gather it back up, and by the time you do that, there's somebody on your inside. That's what's going to make the racing at short tracks better. The teams know it. The drivers know it. I feel like NASCAR has to know it, okay? I don't think that NASCAR can be so naive that they don't know that the problem with short track racing is there's no horsepower in the cars. And if they don't understand that, we're in trouble. We are in big trouble because NASCAR will never figure it out. You hear it from the drivers all the time. These things need horsepower. They need horsepower. I am sick and tired of talking about horsepower. I want to talk about good racing. So fix it before I lose my mind. And now we get to go to a track like Texas where they're going to run in a parade for the entire race because the repave destroyed the track. This is why I can't wait to get to the other side of Talladega when we finally have a little bit of variety in the schedule, some new tracks, some places where they got to turn right. It's going to be a little bit better. It is. But they got to stick with the traditional tracks as well, which I get. And you know what? Maybe Rockingham should come back to the schedule. And you know what? Maybe North Wilkesboro shouldn't be the all-star race and it should have a point-paying race on the schedule. Maybe those things are right, but they like the way the schedule is now. You know how long we've been doing the West Coast swing at the beginning of the year? It's been a long time. They've been doing that for a long time. You know how long it's been that Talladega is in the springtime and after that you have your summer gauntlet? It's been like that a long time. We're getting close to that summer gauntlet. The racing might get better too. But then we got to go to the Chicago Street Course. Blech. So coming up on this Sunday is Texas Motor Speedway. Yeah. Everybody's favorite, and this one's a mouthful to say. The Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400. I hope that silence is loud for everyone, because that's... What? That's a mouthful. I can't wait for the green flag. And it's the start of the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400. Yeah, it sounds like an auction. Anyway, you can catch that race right here on WSIC 2:30 on Sunday. This race is being broadcast by PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Let's go ahead and hear from a driver going into Texas here. Ross Chastain talked about how difficult Texas Motor Speedway is. Chastain's been on his side at Texas Motor Speedway before. So that goes to show you how hard it is. Here's what he has to say about the difficulty of Texas Motor Speedway.
Racetrack wise, of course, we all wish we could do more there. I wish I could pass more. It's truly one of the hardest tracks to pass, in my opinion. So it makes, when I get a pass done, I like sometimes physically celebrate in the car on the next straightaway because I just did it. I did the what I thought was impossible. Yeah, timing that out, and then as it ages, hopefully it opens up a little bit more and more.
Put some horsepower in these cars, NASCAR. If you have drivers going down the backstretch fist pumping because they were finally able to get past somebody because the cars are just way too even and all you have to do is mash the throttle, put some horsepower in the car. Get them off the ground a little bit. Make the drivers work. We're going to have a lot more Texas previewing to do during the week, but man, NASCAR is so off base with what they think is wrong. What's wrong is the cars. It's the cars, and it's going to come down to the cars until they go to the next-gen car. This is the next. I mean the next generation of car. Hopefully things get better before then, but until that, I don't have much faith. You know, you don't have the smartest of people, it seems like, up there. Get some former drivers in there. Get someone who knows what the car does to make these important decisions. And that's all I'm going to say about NASCAR today, because it's just, they don't get it. And I don't know if they will ever get it. All right. Do we have time for this day in sports history? I don't think we do. We kind of ran up to the end of the show here. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in today to the scoreboard. Also, coming up this weekend, the Masters. Yeah, Masters weekend. So we got that to look forward to as well. Do you think Tiger Woods is going to have a miracle? What other golf stories are there? Liv? You want to talk about Liv Golf? Nobody wants to talk about Liv Golf. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. We will get into Liv eventually. Not much going on in the summer. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good night.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Morrisville, North Charlotte.